Never stop singing. No matter how many or how few or how low we pitch them or whatever else, it just singing the hymns of the faith are a treasure for the soul. They warm my heart every time you guys come in here and sing. And I just praise the Lord for you and for your love to worship the Lord in song. We could have just kept singing a little while longer. I'm sure more songs would have been selected, and they would have been wonderful hymns, and would have enjoyed them very much. So, open your Bibles to 1 Peter. Things are happening too fast as far as transition from one event to the next for me to come to you tonight with super organized thoughts. Obviously, my mind is on heading towards India, but it is the experience not of one who is a full fledged evangelist, but a pastor who's an evangelist, who's going to do an evangelist at work. And so that means that my thoughts are very much towards India and very much towards you. I would love to be able to give you, well, here's my three prayers for India and my three prayers for you. I can't do that tonight. My thoughts are not organized that way. But 1 Peter, look at 1 Peter, really has the body of my thoughts towards you, my hope for you, my love for you, and my prayer for you while I am away the next couple of weeks. The message of 1 Peter, the call of 1 Peter, could be summed up with, I think I read the scripture this morning. I'll read it again, verse 19 of 1 Peter 4. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. To sum up that call from that verse, we could just say Peter is calling upon these saints to trust and to obey, not in spite of, but especially in the context of suffering. Trust God. Obey God. In the midst of suffering, you are entrusting your soul, committing, keeping your soul. This means to entrust your soul to Him in well-doing. That is, in walking in obedience to the Lord. The call to trust and obey can sound, depending on who's giving it, a hired teacher may just want her classroom to be orderly. And she may be very firm and strict and have no care or concern for the children, just wants an orderly classroom to do her job. This is not a cold, formal call here in 1 Peter. This call to trust and obey is in the midst of one of the warmest and richest, really personal letters in all of Scripture. It is a deeply practical book. And it is a deeply theological book. All the great doctrines of salvation that we love and put our and pin our hopes upon are located here in this book of 1 Peter. As I said, it's very personal. Listen, one of the main things that Peter wants the people he's writing to, as he's calling them to trust and obey, one of the main, and not just trust and obey in their own small personal lives, but also this call to live this out in the greater social environment that they're in. But one of the main things he wants them to see as he calls them to do this is understand very well who they are. And it's very warm, very warm, very encouraging in helping the people understand who they are. Starts in the very first verse when he describes them as scattered strangers. Now, we know that 1 Peter is written in the midst of suffering, but we do not believe that when Peter was writing this, that this was the heaviest suffering that Christians endured. This is not a time, this is probably not late in like Nero's. You've heard the name Nero. It is probably during Nero's reign, but probably not late in his reign when it got really, really, really hot for Christians. It's probably not written in the time of Domitian, who was a terrible, terrible, horrible torture of Christians. But Christianity is probably not illegal right now. The suffering that's being endured, as we can pick from the chapters, are things like a slave who is under an unjust master, or a citizen who's under an unjust governor, or a wife who's living with an unbelieving and harsh husband. It's that kind of suffering. That kind of suffering that just leaves you feeling like, is there anybody who sees? Is there anybody who cares? Is there any significance and meaning to my miserable life? I'm just a scattered, it really means dispersed. And this is not written to, you might think of the dispersion of the Jews. This is not written just to Jewish Christians. This is later when really the churches were full of both Jew and Gentile. And much of this language in 1 Peter is written to the Gentile Christians. And so it's a scattering. It's a mixture of Jew and Gentile Christians that are being written to here. And maybe that's how you feel at times in your life. I'm just sort of scattered here. Sort of just like the seed was just cast out at random and I just ended up in this strange place. But Peter has a different message. What if the scattering was not random? What if the scattering was at the hand of God, who chose you before the world began and placed you in the care of His Son, who sent the Spirit of God to set you apart to this incredibly elevated and privileged position? That so that you could live out this time of scattering, this time of suffering, to His glory through having the impurities of our sinful flesh burned out through this suffering, that both presently Christ could receive glory from your responses to suffering, and that when Christ returns, it would all be found in praise and honor and glory. So both present glory for Jesus through you and future glory to Jesus through His work in you. So that this scattering is not nearly as random as it feels right now. It feels heavy. It feels unending. The term privilege has taken on a negative connotation in our present time, hasn't it? If you're a person of privilege, then you're guilty. But this is different. This is, you are privileged beyond measure. And you are to rejoice in this privilege. You are to rejoice in this setting apart as a chosen generation or royal priesthood. From that vantage, from seeing life that way as being lived under, even in suffering according to the will of God, you may believe that you are under the hand of a faithful Creator. Now, when I get back from India, we're getting back to Genesis. And we're going to think about that faithful Creator in the very first sermon when we get back to Genesis. And I'll just give you a sneak preview. First of all, this faithful Creator, in the first few verses of Genesis chapter 1, you see the Father, the triune God, the Father, in His, according to Psalm 139, who knows every thing, every part, every cell. He's very present. He's this grand architect with, as we said from Psalm, I think it's Psalm, I forget the Psalm, but Proverbs 8, wisdom is dwelling all around Him. He knows, He sees, He plans, He does, according to glorious wisdom, He's your faithful Creator. You see the Spirit of God hovering, brooding upon the waters, very close, very present, stirring up life. You see the Word of God speaking. Jesus will be unveiled as the great Word of God, who will uphold all things by the Word of His power, who will bring God to man in a way to bring us great salvation. That's a faithful Creator. But then you also notice in Genesis chapter 1 that God didn't make a mistake when he created the earth, the world formless and void. But God is showing us how He works. And what God does is God moves in the hands of God. Things go from formless to formed, from empty to filled, from useless to useful, from ashes to beauty. That's the faithful Creator. So what you see God doing in the very first days of creation, you can expect God to behave and act in the same way in all the rest of His operations. We usually think of those in terms of salvation and providence. And friend, that is true. You scattered ones, know this. This same faithful Creator who brings good and beauty and form and fullness will also do that in His great work of salvation. He will not leave any of it undone. You will be kept by His power through faith. And in the providences of your life, in the daily occurrences of your life, you who feel to be so scattered, know this. By the will of God, these will not burn you up, but they will only burn away that which you really don't want to start with. Because that's what God does. We see it in creation. We see it in salvation. We can expect it in our lives as well. So here's what I want to do tonight. I want to stop talking right now. And this has become just a real blessing to me. Just to let the Word of God just wash over my mind. And so I love the fact that I have an app on my phone that can play the Word of God. I'll be listening to that a lot on this 10-hour flight from wherever I'm going to Bangalore, London to Bangalore. And Asher just said, Daddy, you should meet up with JJ while you're in London. So I don't think that'll happen. I'm only there 5 hours. But I want you to listen. I'm going to read 1 Peter tonight, okay? I want you to let the Word, you're tired, but I want you to let the Word of God just wash over your mind. And imagine that you're in one of these provinces scattered throughout Asia Minor, and this Word is being delivered to you under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and the Apostle Peter. Let's listen to God's Word. And this is my prayer for you as I'm away. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found in praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see Him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Here's the privilege of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come to you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that, not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your minds, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, Psalm 34 here, by the way, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. For the Lord's sake, notice. Whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by Him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Psalm 34 again. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be ye troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that, whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins. He's not asking you to do any more than what he's done himself. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins. But this time it was the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. The implication there is that in the next chapter, that we're going to partake in Christ's sufferings. From the standpoint, we're going to be suffered for the same reasons that he suffered. And in his suffering, He was suffering the just for the unjust to bring us to God. And chapter 2 and chapter 4 are both saying that as you're suffering in this right way, you're pointing to Jesus again. We can't bring people to God like Christ can, but we can point to Jesus, whereas He may visit them on the day of visitation. Friends, it's a good reason to suffer well. All right, no more talking. By the which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water, the like figure whereinto even baptism doth also now save us, not putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto Him. Forasmuch then, as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excessive riot, speaking evil of you. See, some of this suffering just occurs because their community has changed. No longer do you want to be with the same people. See, Christianity, suffering in this sense really comes, I think, for 3 reasons. Partly because our community changes. That's offensive. Partly because light exposes darkness. Think of John the Baptist speaking to Herod. We have to speak truth and to real issues. And that's offensive. And then partly just because of the exclusiveness of the claim. You are a chosen generation in Jesus Christ. Only in Jesus Christ. You're not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ. And so those 3 things are offensive. Verse 5, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another, without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Just a quick comment there is, not only are you in a new community, but you need to live in the new community very well. Love one another. Hospitality. Speak not of yourself, but of God. It's He, Him that gets the glory. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Let me read that again. Remember, this is not yet, we don't think, the burning at the stake. Could be, but from the context, it sounds like it's something less than that. It's difficult lives. Hear this verse tonight. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. So verse 13 is future glory. Verse 14, right now the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. The elders, which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, here's the limit on this suffering. Listen to this. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while. It's an end to it. Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Basilvanus, a faithful brother unto you, I suppose. I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, my prayer for you in this next 2 weeks is that you would know more and more and more of the glory, the glorious work that God is doing in your life, started from eternity past. And He's doing it through the death of Christ, through the sanctification of the Spirit, and through every day of your life. The occurrences of every day in your life is part of God's great work. And when it is complete, He will reveal Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord for that. So that you may face whatever you face this next 2 weeks. Whether it's suffering, that you would suffer well to the glory of God. Whether it's under a heavy burden, it's unjust and unfair, that you would still suffer well to the glory of God. You would commit your soul to Him who is a faithful Creator, a wonderful Redeemer, and who has promised to preserve us to the end. Do pray for us. I love you very much. Let me get my phone.